What is the book of Exodus about? You may say Moses, the plagues, the Exodus of Hebrews through the Red Sea. But that's about one third of Exodus. It's about Mount Sinai, the golden calf, the Ten Commandments, and the other commandments. But that's about another one third of Exodus. What is the remaining third about? Even excellent Bible students usually can't answer this. God allots as much space to this overlooked item as the other well-known parts. So, it must be just as important. The remaining one-third of Exodus is about a tent and its furnishings. The most famous tent in history.
Approximately one-third of the book of Exodus is devoted to the tabernacle, its construction, its furnishings, and the carrying out of worship services. Through his attention to detail, God showed the Israelites how to worship him exactly as he desired to be worshiped.
How famous was that tent? More than 3,000 years after Moses, books and movies about this tent and its furnishings will be bestsellers and blockbuster hits. Wars will be fought over the furnishings of this tent. And if any part of it existed today, the pieces would auction for millions and millions of dollars. God lived in his tent for more than 40 years. Not full time, but he did live in it part time. He made sure that the tent and its furnishings were made precisely to his instructions. And he did not miss out on a single detail. Well, I should know. I designed and supervised the construction of this tent and its furnishings. Do you know the tent? The tabernacle? My name is Bezalel ben Uri ben Hur. Just call me Bezalel. I am of the tribe of Judah, the same tribe as King David and Jesus. I know what you're going to ask me first, Bez. Where are a bunch of ex-slaves going to get the cash and materials to build an extravagant tent? Here's where. During the 10th plague, virtually all of the Egyptian families had firstborn sons that died. They wanted the Hebrews gone. In order to hasten their departure, these Egyptian families showered money and other goods on the Hebrews. The Bible says the Hebrews plundered the Egyptians. Now you're going to ask me, Bez, where did a bunch of ex-slaves get the skills to build the tabernacle? And you're asking that question to the right guy. God filled me with his spirit, filled me with the skill and ability and knowledge of all sorts of artistic crafts, from metalwork to jewelry to woodwork. God also gave a friend of mine named Oholiab and me the ability to teach others to be master craftsmen of any skill needed. Now, your question is probably, why do I need to learn about the tabernacle? It no longer exists, and it has no bearings on my life. Well, the first part of that question is true. Kind of. There's no record of the tabernacle existing after the time of King David. However, many of the furnishings existed for more than 1,000 years. Most notably, the Ark of the Covenant. Some believe the Ark still exists today. Like I said, blockbuster movies. Even though the tabernacle was replaced by the temple, even though the temple was destroyed in 70 AD, the tabernacle's meaning still has relevance today. It demonstrates how important it is to have God's house be pure and as perfect as possible, even if that house is you. God lives in you. You are his house. There's another very important reason to know about the tabernacle, but I'll save that until later. And you'll be glad you listened carefully to my description of the tent and its furnishings first. As you approach the tabernacle from the east, you will see a 75 feet wide curtain in front of you. This curtain runs 150 feet deep to the west. The area that this curtain surrounds is known as the outer courtyard. It's about one quarter the size of a football field. As you enter from the east, you see in front of you the altar of burnt offerings, and behind it, the brazen laver, a bronze basin. Behind the brazen laver is the tabernacle itself. The tabernacle is 15 feet wide, 15 feet high, and 45 feet deep. From the east, you enter the first compartment known as the Most Holy Place. It is 15 feet wide, 15 feet high, and 30 feet deep. It comprises two-thirds of the tent. On your right is the Table of Showbread, special Sabbath bread, and on your left is the candlestick. In front of you is the altar of incense. Behind it is the curtain. And behind the curtain is a space named the Holy of Holies. It is a cube that is 15 feet wide, high, deep. A cube. It contains the Ark of the Covenant and Mercy Seat. That's the cover of the Ark that has the cherubim on it. Yes? No. Go watch the blockbuster movie. It's in there. All of this is a very brief description of the tent and its furnishings. In addition to this are the garments that the priests wear. The brevity of my description completely understates the magnificence of everything. Let me give you an idea of the scale of the whole structure and its furnishings. In total, the project uses 1 ton of gold, 3¾ tons of silver, and 2½ tons of bronze. Adding in the cloth and workmanship, the tabernacle today would cost about $50 million. However, the people were so generous, Moses had to command them to quit bringing offerings to build it. And from those weight numbers, you can imagine how hard it is to set up, take down, and transport. It's portable, but not by your standards. And we don't have semi-trucks. God gave very specific instructions to the Levites on how to move it and set it up. You may remember that the Levites are given special privileges to serve God because of how they supported Moses during the debacle of the golden calf. Let's go back to how the tabernacle was made. You approach the outer court from the east. The outer court is made of a curtain of finely twisted linen with silver and bronze hooks and bands. It stands about 7½ feet high. It covers a periphery of 450 feet. It surrounds an area about one quarter the size of a football field. As you enter the outer court, the altar of burnt offerings is in front of you. It's made of bronze-covered acacia wood. All of its implements are made of bronze. It's about 4 feet high and almost 8 feet wide and deep. Behind the altar of burnt offering is the huge brazen laver for priests to wash their hands. It is made of bronze from the mirrors of women who serve at the entrance to the tent of meeting. As you walk past the brazen laver, you enter the tabernacle from the east. Tabernacle, 15 feet wide, 15 feet high, and 45 feet deep. And it's covered with 10 curtains made of finely twisted linen and blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, which are embroidered in very intricate patterns. Each curtain is about 42 feet long and 6 feet wide. The curtains that separates the Holy of Holies and the entrance are made of the same materials. Over the tent is a layer of goat hair covered by red ram skins, covered by hides of sea cows. All fabrics are held up by acacia wood frames and posts with gold, silver, and bronze loop stands and bases. As you enter the tabernacle from the east, the table of showbread is on the right. It's made of acacia wood and overlaid with gold. It had loops of gold with poles of gold-covered acacia wood to carry the table. All of its plates, bowls, and dishes were made of gold. The candlestick, or lampstand, is on your left. It is made of about 75 pounds of gold. It has 7 lamps, and everything is intricately crafted into exceptional, distinct designs. In front of you is the altar of incense. It was about 1.5 feet wide and deep, 3 feet high. It was made of gold-covered acacia wood. Behind the curtain is the space known as the Holy of Holies. Inside of it is the mercy seat and the Ark of the Covenant. The mercy seat is the lid for the Ark of the Covenant. It's made of gold. It's about 4 feet long and over 2 feet wide. On this are 2 cherubs made of gold. The cherubs are placed at each end, facing each other with wings upraised. The mercy seat is where God appeared to meet with Moses. The Ark of the Covenant contains a gold jar of manna from the Exodus trip, Aaron's staff that budded, and the 2 stone tablets of the 10 commandments that Moses brought down from the mountain. It's about 4 feet wide and a little over 2 feet deep and high. It's made of acacia wood overlaid with gold inside it and out. It has gold rings for poles of acacia wood that were gold covered and used to carry the ark. Solomon placed the ark in the temple, but at that time it only contained the 2 stone tablets. The last specific mention of the location of the Ark of the Covenant in the Bible is when it's placed in the temple built by King Josiah. In addition to the tent and its furnishings, God gave very specific instructions about how to make the garments for the priests, including the ephod, the sleeveless garment they wore, and breastpiece. After the tabernacle's completion, Moses inspected it in fine detail before approving it, and then he blessed it and presented it to the Lord. The Lord had to set it up, and the most amazing thing happened. Cloud descended and covered it, and the glory of the Lord filled it. For a while, even Moses could not enter to meet with the Lord. It was too much power and glory for a human being to withstand. From that time on, whenever the cloud would lift, we Levites would pack it up, the tent and the gold and the silver and bronze, and follow the cloud. Whenever the cloud settled on the tent, we Levites would stay put with the rest of the people. The cloud of the Lord was over the tent by day, and fire was in the cloud at night. This was in sight of all Israelites throughout all of our travels. What could possibly be the very important reason to know about the tabernacle? According to the writer of the New Testament book of Hebrews, the tabernacle is a shadow and copy of what is in heaven. That's why Moses was warned to build it exactly to the specifications and the instructions God gave him on the mountain. It was heaven on earth. And I assure you, I built the tabernacle exactly according to those instructions. Heaven on earth.